Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two down, one to go. Final hour of the show. Final day in studio on Hump Day for Nick and myself as we are on the road again on the summer circuit, making the rounds. I believe tomorrow we're in Garden Oaks. I believe Richmond Arms on Friday. So we're going to be getting around, Nicholas, and I believe that means you'll be sampling some spirits.
I will indeed. I will definitely be sampling whatever they're willing to allow me to sample. I'll make it through the show. Hopefully it's indoors, not like last time, because I don't know if I can...
Got a little toasty at the old Heights Hotel.
Heights House Hotel.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic hotel, beautiful property. But yeah, I was warm. I was very warm.
You made the blacklist.
No, I did not. No, I did. That was hilarious. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that, but that's hilarious.
I mean, I don't think it's a problem.
I don't think so. I mean, he was pretty open about it.
Yeah, and we didn't want to do it that day. But at the same time, when we were setting up, the owners were great. And they were talking about when they bought the place and how they got going. And they said when they were signing the final papers that they were presented with a blacklist. I was like, a what?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, a blacklist. We were told all the people that were banned from the property for either chemical issues or
drugs,
prostitution, sexual deviancy, however you want to label it. And then they started rattling off who the culprits were on the list. And I'm going, my goodness. And without calling anybody's names, but assuming that you would think that major celebrities within town would be able to pick a better spot for a temporary engagement. But no.
No.
My goodness.
Blacklist of just
craziness.
Celebrities, non-celebrities, athletes, former athletes, coaches, former coaches. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's like, crazy to me.
And you're picking the Astro Inn?
Yeah.
With all the hotels in the downtown area. Okie dokie.
And he told me the story. He was laughing about it, too. Like, he didn't care.
Right.
That's funny to me, though. I would have never suspected that. But I guess if you're in that type of area and you have a hotel there, I'm sure there's other hotels similar to Astro Inn at that time probably have blacklists as well.
Very, very interesting. Someone said I should have talked to the instructor at the gym. Oh, I did. After the class. But, yeah, that was an interesting little tidbit I thought I was going to share with you guys to get your opinions, because I didn't think I was missing anything. Yahoo Sports is reporting that Chris Paul plans to play in Game 3.
Good for him.
So it looks like he'll be back with his team, taking a 2-0 lead last night on a last-second DeAndre Ayton dunk on a beautiful pass from Jay Crowder. So the Suns take a commanding 2-0 lead, but Clippers been there, done that. In their previous two series, were down 2-0 in both, came back to win them. So we'll see if they got another one in them as they return to L.A. now for games 3 and 4. Astros have won 9 in a row. Kyle Tucker is back with the team. We don't know if he's still down 10 pounds from the... We don't know if it was pandemic or not. We don't know if it was Rona. But anyway, he was sick. So he's back as Jose Urquidy gets the ball as they look to take another game from the Orioles. Tonight, game 1, Eastern Conference Finals, Bucks-Hawks. Yes, I'm pulling for the Bucks. Yes, it's my hometown team. I still don't think they're very good. I think Giannis is overrated. I can't stand Mike Budenholzer's coaching. But if I'm going to pull for a team, it's got to be the Bucks.
I can't get mad at you I'm going to go for the Hawks, and you know why? Because I like Capella.
Yes, you do.
Not that I hate the Milwaukee Bucks, because I don't. I do not. I like that team. I just wish you could get more out of Giannis. I wish you could definitely get more out of Chris Middleton, but that just hasn't been the case. You might get 2-3 games out of a series where he's just unbelievable, but you can't get that consistency in an entire series out of Middleton in most cases. But against this Hawks team, I think he can do really well for most of the series. I really believe that. I think he could have multiple 30-point games if he really wants to against this Hawks team.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked that Kendrick Perkins, who started to get on my bandwagon about Giannis being a little overrated, said that he was the most dominant star in sports right now, across all the sports.
Giannis is?
Yeah, and I mean, I get that he puts up numbers, but until you can prove to me you can make a free throw and you can make a three, I don't think he deserves that title. And he obviously needs help. I think the key to the series for Milwaukee is got to be Drew Holiday. Because you mentioned Middleton. He has had his games and his moments. And down the stretch when Giannis can't do it, he has had to be the A guy. The guy that they were lacking that really could have helped them put that series away earlier was Holiday. Holiday can't have another series where he too cannot make a three.
No, he can't. But he brings so much to the table. He's one of those players. I feel like that he supplements for what he lacks sometimes. I guess that's what gives him a bit of a pass. But he has to make shots, no question. No question at all. How well do you think they have the Bucks at, I think, -7.5. I think it moved to -8.
It's in Milwaukee tonight, right?
Is that fair?
Is it in Milwaukee?
I believe so. Let me see.
I gotta check it too. I believe it is in Milwaukee.
It is indeed.
Yeah, it's in Milwaukee. So I think that sounds about right. Someone just, and again, I'm going to call you out on this. Someone texted the show with a 414 area code and says, am I crazy to think the Bucks can sweep the Hawks? Well, you're a Bucks fan because you're in a 414, which is a Milwaukee area code. So I got you on that. But is it crazy?
It's not crazy.
I think that they match up a whole lot better with the Hawks than they do, obviously, with the three-headed monster until they got injuries with the Nets.
If I were to pick the Bucks in the series, I wouldn't say Bucks in four. I would say the Bucks in six, but if it happened, I wouldn't be shocked.
I am saying Bucks in six, by the way.
I think Bucks in six is fair.
What are you saying?
I'm gonna say I want the Hawks to win, so I'm fanboying a little bit. So
how many games?
Hawks in six.
Hawks in six.
They're not gonna be able to do it in five. There's no if they were gonna win the series. It might be Hawks in seven, but I'm gonna say Hawks in six is my official prediction. But
matchups easier for Milwaukee defensively. Giannis, as much as they're going to have to throw a lot of different options, I think Drew Holiday is going to be on Trey. And I think that the key for Milwaukee is I don't think Atlanta's got anybody to guard Giannis.
They don't. And this might be the series where Trey gets a lot of criticism. Watch. I really feel that. Like,
you think so?
If he shows any type of inconsistency, what are they going to say? Oh, where are you in the playoffs? Where were you in the playoffs? Where were you against the series against the Bucks? I totally feel that.
I think he's already proven himself, though. I think there were, as there were questions about him coming in, if he was ever going to be worth the Luka trade.
Right.
He's basically solidified.
He didn't hurt his cause this year.
Yeah, he solidified himself.
No. But we were all thinking about that with Trey. We thought he was a really good player on a really bad team. We said that about Trey for at least two seasons, I want to say.
Well, and what I said was, it was unfair to compare him to Steph. Yeah, in college, he had a Steph Curry-type game where he could shoot it from anywhere, and he would. But I wasn't convinced he could translate that to the NBA where you had bigger bodies on you, more athletic bodies on you on a night-by-night basis. Could he still get his, and could he endure more punishment in the league? And he's proven me wrong in doubting him because he's been spectacular.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's really confident with his shot, too. It's not a situation where it's like he lacks any type of confidence. And if you're going to be that type of guy, you have to be super, super, super confident. So, but -8, I think, is fair. You think they cover?
I do.
It's game one.
Game one in Milwaukee, full house. I think Milwaukee covers 8. Yeah, I think they send a message that, hey, as difficult and as critical as people were about their performance against the Nets, they had the advantage in this series, in my opinion. So we'll see how that goes. And, of course, the draft lottery last night, the Rockets had the number 2 pick. So we'll see how that goes. There were rumors that they, including Woj last night, saying they might consider trading it, which would be ludicrous and stupid. But because Nick and I pointed out the reason why that might be out there, Rafael Stone is probably on a very short-term kind of deal right now, worried about the fact he's got this is a make or break draft for
but
him.
Regardless of how he does it, don't you think he's at least going to be with the team next year, at least for one more year? Or do you think it's a possibility that he could be gone before the next season even starts? I don't think he leaves this year. I think he's going to be the general manager of the Rockets for at least another year or two. But I could be wrong. At least another year.
Because I think, here's the thing. If you're going to be fair, Nick, there's a couple things. If you're going to be fair, then the guys, this is a massive draft for them. It's a make or break draft for him. But you have to give it time to see. We know that there are some late bloomers. Chauncey Billups was a late bloomer. Or, you know, Steph Curry, as we mentioned, with his injuries the first couple of years, was a late bloomer. So I guess you do have to be fair and say, if you want to give him a fair shake, once he makes these picks this year, you got to give him a couple of years to see if they're going to develop. But I think we also can tell pretty quickly guys that develop versus guys that don't. Cam Reddish was the number one pick that went in the Trae Young, Luka Doncic trade. Cam Reddish in Atlanta has been awful.
Right. He hasn't been. He's been a non-factor in terms of the deal. But, yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the ESPN analysts. There's like two ESPN analysts that are picking the Hawks, maybe three. And then the rest, which is like 20 of them in total, are all picking the Bucks.
Yeah, I think it's a lot different than trying to pick a Nets-Bucks series. And on the flip side, this is the year that I'm not sure. But I don't know how the ratings are going to be television-wise, and I'm sure the league would prefer to have L.A. in there. But it would be kind of interesting if you see it's all small. I mean, Atlanta and Milwaukee are, I guess, mid-markets.
No, that's not a big market. I mean, if they get at least one market in the finals that is a big market, that'd be fine, but I don't think they're going to have that. So, I mean, L.A., if L.A. comes out from this 0-2 deficit, then you have one big market. So, yeah, at least you have that. But Lakers fans are Lakers fans. Like, it's not...
Facts.
It's not Facts. A situation, all right, the Lakers lost, so let me jump on the Clippers bandwagon. There are people that exist like that in L.A., but for the most part, Lakers fans are Lakers fans. And they're very, very quick to get rid of you if they feel like you've performed subpar. Like, there's a big part of their fan base that wants Schroeder to go, and they don't want him back, and they're like, bye, Felicia. But the reality is, Lakers fans are Lakers fans. So
it's worse than Mets-Yankees type thing. You're in the same city, but you're either one or Cubs-White Sox. You're either one or the other, and there's no going to the next one when yours is out.
No. Yeah, that's why. But at least you still have the benefits of sheer numbers because it's L.A. So if they do somehow find a way to come back from two games down, then, you know. At this point, don't you just want competition? Your two golden teams, basically, have not made it, and they've been eliminated.
I think for one year, it's good for the league. If you can get a Milwaukee team that hasn't won since 71.
I think that would be healthy.
You know, you think about Atlanta. I can't even fathom when they won it, if they've ever won
it. Have they won it?
I don't think they've ever won it. I mean, and you think about the Suns that haven't been good since, what, Stoudemire and Nash. The Suns have never won it that I know of. So, you know, when you think about all these teams that can finally get back on the map and end a long drought, it's a cool story.
Next 1958, bro.
Who?
That's when the last time the Hawks won the championship.
58 for the Hawks, 71 for the Bucks, and Suns, I don't know that they ever have.
They've never won a championship, losing to the NBA Finals.
Celtics. They lost to the Celtics.
In 76 and 93. So is the 76 one is when they lost to the Celtics?
And they lost to the Bulls in 93.
You're correct.
Right. Yep. So, well, there you go. So, I mean, new blood for one year, and then I think it all goes back to the way it's been. Ime Udoka, the Nets assistant coach, is finalizing a deal to become the head coach of the Boston Celtics. So that's one less coaching opportunity that will be open this offseason. So plenty to get to as we get to the final hour of the program and we keep moving. But we want to get you guys the news of the day again. Urquidy on the mound tonight, as the Astros look to win their 10th straight game. Kyle Tucker, back from an illness, just feeling beclamped, lost a little weight. We'll be back tonight. Talk amongst yourselves. We'll be back with more. It's the Press Box.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Hey, check the
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So for those of you that call me a Rockets hater, by the way, I made sure the future was so bright that I gave them great karma and luck by taking Nick's wonderful birthday gift of these Oakley sunglasses that my wife hates the color of.
I don't blame her. The color ain't all.
I love them.
The color's not.
Well, then buy me. Everybody can buy me different colored frames.
I mean, Neil, it would fit certain occasions, like if you're at the beach or if
she said that. Grandma even said that. It fits every occasion if I so choose to wear them, and I like them. So I wore these for luck yesterday. I said, the future's so bright, we got to have them on. Then I tweeted it last night because, again, thanks to my good karma, the Rockets got the number two pick, and as long as it's in the top four and they get to keep it, it's great. But people were asking, so I'm going to tell you this. They were saying green or Suggs and giving me all these options. Here's the thing I said all along. Because I know how the Rockets are thinking, and they're thinking when sooner rather than later, there's only two guys that are ready to help this team next year. That's Cunningham and Suggs. In my opinion, Suggs is the guy they're going to go to. John Wall's eventually going to be gone. I think Porter Jr. is more of a two guard. I think you've got your backcourt of the future. You've got a young, talented, very young, by the way, talented, high upside backcourt. You could go, if you want Mobley, understand, and I don't think Stone does because I don't think he has time to wait it out because Mobley's a couple years away. Cunningham, I don't think, you're just not getting him. I think he's the clear-cut one, and he's going to Detroit. He fits very well with the other young players they have. They now have a good nucleus that fill out at multiple different positions. The other two kids coming up right from, even in the G League with experience, Green's a good ways away. The kid from Baylor's intriguing, but he's small. So I think that's where I'm at with the draft.
Well, but do you think Rafael Stone...
Who?
He changes his... Like, if he, like you think he manages differently if he knows that his days are numbered or if he's on a short leash?
Do. Exhibit A is Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien had experience, I feel like. Daryl Morey, he's been a general manager. He knows.
Okay, so granted, there's one thing we don't know is how much he does or doesn't know because he's never done this before. He's never been experienced. Okay?
Right.
So that's a concern. The other thing is, and we see this with the Bears, we see this in the NFL, but it's the Bill O'Brien mold. I may not be here when those picks come up, when the cap space becomes an issue. Whatever the case, Daryl Morey did it here. Bill O'Brien did it with the Texans. So I think Rafael Stone says, hey, you know what? I may not be here all that long, and I know how important this draft is. That's why I would also think he will consider trading that pick for a veteran young kid because he knows he's trying to keep his job.
Well, I don't know him, obviously, but he just struck me as a guy that's in it for the long haul. This is a massive opportunity. He's never been a general manager for an NBA team. This puts him on the map in terms of being able to put it on his resume as being a general manager. Maybe this is a spring, this springs him up into another job with an NBA team, but he hasn't made the mistakes as a general manager. That's the only reason why I don't know if he's, I feel like before I knew anything about him and before you kind of, you know, gave me the rundown about it, I just assumed that his mentality is, I'm in it for the long haul. I've been with the Rockets so many years. I'm not going anywhere. I'm the general manager. I'm going to genuinely, to the best of my ability, whether I'm experienced or not, make the right choices for the best of the team. But the other thing I wonder is, how much is Silas talking to this dude? I feel like he's probably not even turning to Silas for some input.
He's arrogant enough to think he can do this on his own.
Should be included.
Silas should absolutely be included. So should your scouting department. So should your assistant coaches, because they see this team on a daily basis. Because you do have options. If you think, and we talked about this in the first hour, if Porter Jr. is your point guard, then you could go Green, and you could have your backcourt there. If you think that you need another big man to go with the kind of light in the backside, not a big man, dominant big man type Christian Wood, and you think that Mobley's the guy that develops, and now you've got your future front court, then you could go that way. If you think that Porter Jr. is better suited at the two and that Suggs is your point guard, you go that way, and you've got the young backcourt of the future. So you have options, and that's good. But I think that because one of the things that even in all the quotes that you hear from Stone is that they're still trying to win sooner rather than later and get this thing reset quickly. I don't think Mobley and Green and all those kids are going to be fit the bill. I think the two that are most mature physically and mentally and ready for the NBA are Cunningham and Suggs. Now, someone said if Cunningham somehow slides out of the one spot and Pistons don't take him, do you take him? Absolutely. He's 6 foot seven. He can handle the ball. Yeah, he might. That you might have to work on some things with him. But guess what? You can work on things. You can't teach the size he's got.
No, you can't. You can't. And I don't know if that will happen. I think if anything, Suggs going to three is more of a possibility, right? Or do you think no, because the Rockets are the number two pick, so maybe not? But I think
I think Suggs could slide because I think there's still questions about his jump shot. As good as he is at quarterbacking a team, as strong physically as he is playing quarterback in high school, and his ball handling, I think there's questions on his shot, and so I think he could slide. I don't think that Cade will slide. I think he's as clear cut as there can be for a number one overall pick.
Okay. And I think he is, too. I think the only two positions that will probably change, if we're talking about specifically the first three picks, would be pick number two and pick number three. I think Cade goes number one. I would be shocked if he doesn't. I would be really, really shocked.
All right, now, you're also shocked. This is a guy that you told me about. And yeah, we got news during the break. John McAfee from the McAfee antivirus software, is that right?
Correct, from back in the day, like in the 90s and early 2000s.
When we were doing our homework for listeners program, where we asked people to watch documentaries with us and such, and then we would report back and discuss them. You had said in passing that you had also caught this documentary on McAfee. He's a weirdo.
Yeah, it was called Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee. And one of the little fetishes that he had was he would ask women, who, by the way, he acted like he was some king with a bunch of beautiful women. They weren't that attractive. But he would ask them.
Was he paying for them?
I can't remember, but one of the things that he loved is he would tell him to sit in a hammock. He would cut a hole in that hammock, and then he would ask the women to defecate all over him.
Didn't he also do it like where he would sit under a glass top table or something and they would poop on the table? I think Barry might have said that.
Are you thinking about the other guy, the Donald Trump guy? Was he that on the island?
Oh,
Jeffrey
Epstein. Epstein.
Was he the one that did that? I don't know if McAfee. I
know it came up during the discussion.
The hammock thing was 100%
McAfee.
But McAfee
was all about the
hammock.
The 100%.
Oh,
deuces.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Well, he killed himself in a Spanish prison, apparently. I didn't know what he went back to jail for. Remember, this guy, a lot of people think, got away with murder on the island. Because I remember there was these dogs that he had on the island. And one of the neighbors or who had a business or something on the beach didn't like it. So he, like, the word on the street is that he poisoned them. And next thing you know, that guy dies. So everybody thinks McAfee is the one who did it, but he didn't go to jail for that. Ran for president at one point. Very weird guy. Had millions of dollars. Just a very weird guy when you consider how intelligent he was in the antivirus game. But he kills himself. I guess this happened either today or yesterday in a Spanish prison. I wonder what a Spanish prison is like.
Like, we talk about Deshaun with the whole massage thing. And if that's his fetish or that's his deal, then we were talking about the fact that everybody has one. I get it. I don't understand this either. We talked about I don't understand feet. I don't understand there's certain people that are just obsessed with feet. I don't understand how anyone, whether it be the Golden Shower or this deuce-dropping McAfee guy, how is that hot?
I don't.
Well, I mean, actually, it's probably hot when it lands on you. Or if someone pees on you. But how is that a thing?
I don't know. I do not know. I have no idea.
Fred wants to bang an alien. That's still, like, close to normal, but I'm not having anybody do that.
I mean, the thing is, it's more common than you think, because we had the two chicks? Is it one cup? Two chicks, one cup?
Well,
remember that?
When you think about the stuff that we've had come up over the course of the shows that we've done. And with colors, right? Pink waffle? Was that? Or
it was
blue
waffle
and pink what?
Everybody in the chat should Google blue waffle right now.
It was blue waffle, and what was the pink one? Don't answer that, anybody else, but Nick.
I don't remember.
There was one. Yeah, there was blue waffle, and there was another one with something pink.
I don't know the pink one. I don't remember.
And it's not, yeah.
It's not
no,
good.
This, yeah, but we've had so much of this stuff come up. But I just can't say, you know what? I'm really horny tonight. Can't wait for my chick to cut a hole in a hammock and crap on me.
I'm about to...
Come on, man.
Oh, man.
I'm feeling dirty. Pee on me, baby. No!
I've never understood that.
That's terrible stuff, people.
And you should totally watch that documentary, because he thought he was with the most beautiful women on the island. Not the case. Very nice women, not the most beautiful women.
Maybe it's his thing. You ever see the movie Summer Catch?
Mm-mm.
Freddie Prinze Jr. played center field. He liked them big. Everybody's got a thing.
Everybody?
That shouldn't be the thing. What goes on in the toilet should not be going on in your bedroom. Weird.
What if you got stung by a jellyfish, asked Crystal.
If a jellyfish stings you, then you better let Lisa on you. You know, Crystal.
I didn't expect you to read it, but...
You know, I mean... This is... Crystal claims to be loyal to us, too. But yeah,
she doesn't give
us shouts on Twitter. She gives AJ and other people. But then when it gets down to this, she's got to get personal and ask about my wife with it. Okay.
I've got stung
I know.
I've got stung by a jellyfish. I didn't let anybody urinate on me. Are you crazy? No way.
Nick got stung by a jellyfish.
Twice.
Hey, Nick, John McAfee's in the bushes. Here he comes.
Mm-mm. I wish you just read that entire message out loud.
It's a trade deal. John McAfee pees on you, and then you got to reciprocate. Dump truck. Back with the final half hour.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right. Half hour to go in the show. Back on The Press Box. Nick and myself till 4. Blitz till 7. Aaron, Fred, AJ. Last day in studio for all of us as we are on the road for the summer circuit. Thursday in the Garden Oaks area, Friday Richmond Arms, I believe. But check ESPN975.com. You can also sign up for the newsletter at that point, and then you can follow us and check out where we're going to be and what we're doing. What we're doing here is walking through the park and reminiscing. And someone said that the blue waffle was followed up by the pink sock. Nick went very, very...
I got the definition if you want me to read it out loud.
If you'd like to, I mean, that's on you. But it was explicit, and it was highly detailed. And it was something that I do recall that Barry warned people by, and of course, because he knew everybody was going to look it up the minute he said it. But he had said, I knew we had one blue, which was the waffle, and one pink, which...
Blue, which was the waffle.
I don't remember if that was the sock or not.
I didn't remember pink sock until I Googled it. I think it's disgusting. I'm not going to read the definition. You can.
I know you want to.
I don't. I kind of do, but I don't.
See? I told you. There's, you know, look, McAfee, there's a little bit of a sick side to you, I think.
No, not really. I'm not into that stuff. I just want to get a reaction out of people sometimes, but I'm not going to do that because I feel like our audience already knows. They already know.
That you're sick?
No. Oh. I'm not sick.
Okay.
I am not sick. At least not right now.
We got a lot of people, but Rex Ryan is the most famous, I guess, of the foot fetish folks.
Well, because he was on record, yeah. Which, isn't his, was his wife kind of hot, though, when he said that? Or is his wife kind of hot right now?
Like, I look at Rex Ryan, and I think it's a battle between, is his wife hot or not?
She's old.
He's popular.
She's pretty.
He's popular, and he has money, but he looks like Boss Hogg. I don't know. Crystal says the people at the food bank keep staring at her because she's laughing so hard. Well, that's what we aim to do around here. Entertain and have some laughs. Yeah, Crystal, we already know. Nick, believe me, your definition was not even close to what Nick's definition
was. It really wasn't.
No.
I thought it was, what's it called, hemorrhoids at first when I first read the definition. That's how disgusting it is.
Yeah, loosey-goosey, but yeah. One way to describe it. Anyway, so I'm interested, Nicholas. they were doing a survey, and they wanted to know how much it would take for you to give up social media. Are you so addicted to it, like a girl in the gym today, I had to do the TikTok and see herself working out? How much?
I don't need a billion or anything like that. I need several million. I need several million.
I'm going to tell you this. And you know I differentiate. Like anyone on Twitter, you can follow on Twitter and Instagram. But Facebook's only for friends and family. But, I mean, I think that I could give up. It's addictive. I get it. But I don't feel like I'm at the point where I have to have it every single day. I hear these people that say, oh my God, if I couldn't have my phone for a day. On weekends, there's a lot of time that people are like, dude, I texted you. I haven't heard from you in like 4 or 5 hours. I can put my phone down and not.
And have no problem?
Yeah.
And they say that's really good to do. It kind of gives your mind a break from that thing because it's always attached to you. It's an extension of you.
70% of people said it would take $10,000 or more.
No way. That's not enough.
20% saying it would take at least a mil?
A mil would still not be enough for me.
Why?
Because a mil is not going to cover you for a lifetime. If you're trying to be in this business, I mean, you have to be a smart investor. Who says, do I look like a smart investor to you?
I'm not answering that.
Okay, probably not. I'm probably going to blow that money.
But you're already still making a salary. And here's the caveat. Could you have a company work account? Whether it be you're controlling, you could set up one for PressBox or, you know, like the Degenerates 975 for the Blitz, where you could have a show page and a show account that could actually be, maybe it's cheating, but you could get by with it.
Oh, like a loophole type of situation.
Yeah, you could look for the loophole. You don't think, if someone gave me a mil.
I'm not turning, no. That's
I'll
not
take
enough.
It.
No, that's not enough. A mil is not enough.
Do you need that much attention?
No, I need that much money. I need money.
Do you need that outlet that badly to express yourself?
No, but the thing is, we act like, because we're in this radio realm, we act like we're the only ones, or this media realm, I should say, we act like we're the only ones that have good use for social media. It's not the case anymore. It's industries all across the board, whether it's medical, engineering, charities, nonprofit organizations, everybody absolutely has to have it now. So for you to say, you know what, you can't do this anymore, you're essentially taking away, you're lessening my possibility of making more money. I'm not saying it's impossible to make money without social media, but people still look. I mean,
but it also makes trouble for you because to your point, Deshaun had to have it and then he had to tweet about it and use social media for it. And then he got caught because of it. And now he didn't scrub his tweets and it caused him a whole lot more problems than he might otherwise be in.
Yeah. And when you joke, like, because I joke a lot about, you know, we talk about sex, drugs, rock and roll on this show. That's what we do, you know?
Right.
So I can see how something I say can come back and bite me, but that's just the way it works, you know?
Take
what I mean?
Money out of it, Nick. Would you give up Chiquita?
Hell no.
Your car?
Yeah, I'd give up my car.
Television?
For what? Give up my car
in order
for?
To keep it. 40% said they would choose to keep their social media accounts over their cars, their televisions, and their pets. That's excessive.
The pet part is pretty excessive.
Extremely.
It's pretty excessive. I don't know if I'd give up on little Chiquita.
You shouldn't.
I wouldn't do that. I would pass on that. I think my number would be 5 to 10. It'd be 5 million. You give me 5 million, I will shut down at the producer Nick and never open it up ever again on any platform.
No. If they gave you 5 million, I would hope that you also shut down being a producer Nick and just walk away.
Oh, I would just walk away. I would fade. Just chill. Oh yeah, I would fade too. I wouldn't want to be on social media.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere with I would be fine just finding, like I said, a house on a golf course and bye.
Especially if we're talking Uncle Sam here. Like if Uncle Sam's going to get his piece, then I probably want more.
But isn't this on the down low?
If it's on the down low and I'm getting 5 million,
you drop me the 5 mil, I'm gone.
Okay, then if it's on the down low, then absolutely.
Now here's the other crazy thing. They said participants were asked whether they thought social media use intensified anxiety, depression, difficulty concentrating, loneliness, or self-esteem. For each condition, more than 50% of the people that responded indicated those feelings were at least somewhat intensified by social media, while at least 20% for each indicated they were very or extremely intensified. And I can see that too, because we know if we get controversial or take an opinion that people want to take sides with, they go overboard. And at a certain point, and recently we've had to deal with this again, but at a certain point, we got to remind folks, we are all about discussions and disagreements about sports all day long.
Oh, yeah.
But in the process, if you're going to make it personal, if you're going to bring family members into it or name calling or stuff like that and create fighting words, it's not that serious.
No, it's not. Well, that's the problem, but people want to do it just because they want to have that issue with you. It especially us, not that we're like the biggest media members ever, but it does benefit some other people, like when someone who doesn't have many as followers as you to go at and go at you. It makes sense for them, and it makes a lot less sense for you. You know?
Yeah.
I was asked, like, has anybody at the other radio stations ever mentioned me on their shows, and what would you say? I'm like, I wish they would, but they won't. You know what I mean? Like, if they, you know, they're not, that's not what they do, you know?
That's what we do.
That's what we do, you know? So, like, if you know, I wish, it wouldn't.
Weird, but.
It is weird. But
I was not trained that way.
I know you weren't. I mean, obviously, coming from an NBA team, they don't take that. No,
you don't
NBA
give anybody
team.
Billboard material, and you always protect your own and go after everybody else.
Yeah, I was not
until
trained.
Until I got here.
I wasn't trained that way. See, I was trained the opposite of the way you trained. So
I was trained when I came into Gal Media. You eat your own and spit them out and then go after everybody else too. So that's the way you go.
I mean, if you want to take this opportunity to go at any of the other radio hosts, feel free to do so. Is there somebody you want to go at?
No, because I'm comfortable in my own
skin. I can play some music if you want.
And Arthur and I are good
Sabotage?
Friends.
Sabotage? Would that be a good music
AJ bit? And I are buddies now, so I don't have any axe to grind with anybody.
You don't like talking about the fights and stuff like that. I like talking about that stuff.
Well, because inevitably, if we start talking about it, it's one thing. But then everybody chimes in, and it's immediately their own opinions on who they want to see fight who, and who would kick whose ass, and who.
It's kind of fun, though. I mean, every time I've been included in discussion, I think I would have won maybe 2 out of the 100 fights that they proposed in terms of a hypothetical. I don't think anybody picked me in any of the fights.
Oh, I did.
People had Palillo kicking my ass
Charlie's
in the fight.
No, I didn't. I had you beating Charlie's ass in a landslide.
Charlie Palillo is 4-1, and everybody thinks he can kick my ass in a fight. Don't think so. Don't think so.
I had you whooping his mall walkers all up. By the way, he traded the mall walkers in for prison shoes.
No, he did. Stop
yes, he
it.
Did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
What were they? Were they like those New Balance?
They're Vans, but they're navy blue with white bottoms, slip-ons. And I don't know if he lost a bet or someone gifted them to him. But I told him that now in prison with the orange jumpsuits, they give you the blue Vans, and he's wearing them. But the socks are white and they're kind of high.
The tube. He wears those tube socks. Yeah, he's never going to veer away from that.
Can't do that with the Van.
But it doesn't matter. He's not going to change. He's set in his ways. I don't blame him. He don't give a damn.
What's better, the mall walkers or the Vans?
The Vans are probably cooler looking than the.
I think if you had the low socks.
I mean, you know who's very in tune with Vans?
Ooh.
It's Dell. Dell at one point had about 76 different band t-shirts and shoes. Pairs okay. of shoes.
All right. Oh, my God. No, we're not doing Jake versus a chair round 2 at the road shows this week. That was enough. The chairmedics had enough to work with to try and resuscitate that chair last week.
Poor guy. Who was it? It was Trey doing the initial damage, but it was Justin who actually...
Yeah. Justin absolutely annihilated a chair. Todd, the show said he picked Nick over Josh when he got fooled into thinking that bit was real. That day, picking the kids up, I had to turn the radio off at the pickup line. But when I got back on, I was texting you because there was a part of me that thought it was real, too.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was real.
That was good
stuff.
I can't
remember what my best line was. I felt like he probably won the fake fight, but I wasn't really quite ready for it. It was like on 3 minutes' notice.
It was
fun.
It was well played. Well played, sir, indeed. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up next. Turn it over to the Blitz right here. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Someone said, wait, the Josh and Nick fight was a bit?
Someone Dude, else I said some really harsh stuff to him, man. Like, but it was necessary. I mean, he wanted a fight. He wanted a fake fight, so I gave him a fake fight.
But I think at that point, you got to be careful what you ask for, because you have to realize that, like, getting into it with you or Barry.
It was just,
Barry is the king of the verbal warfare.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting bout, although Ennis is pretty good at verbal warfare, too. So
I can tell you right now, my top two draft picks, if I'm doing Twitter warfare and verbal warfare, are Barry and AJ.
Barry and AJ, probably. Yeah, AJ yeah. For sure.
AJ has absolutely no filter, and he doesn't have a care about who he offends and what he says.
The funny thing about me telling Josh that he sucks at life is that wasn't in the fake fight. That was in the real fight. Yeah, that wasn't in the fake fight. When I told him that he sucked at life, that was in the real fight. That wasn't in the fake fight.
See, a lot of people don't realize there was a real fight.
There was a real fight.
I know there was.
Yeah. But the fake, I did hit him with some weight, because it's too easy to just make fun of it. The guy's 300 pounds. Like, I have to talk about his weight. I mean, if I'm going to do a fake fight, I'm going to go at your weight if you're 3 bills plus.
Yeah.
You want to say so much more. I'm trying to get you to say more, but it's not working.
I don't know if we've taken the restrictions off and limitations off.
I know, but who cares? It's the last segment.
And you know, and he's got his little Gist Nationers that rattle tattle all of the time. So it's, you know, it's fine. And then occasionally I've caught him on a couple when he's responded to tweets and I've gone at him. But, you know, we're friends, so I just leave it go. All right. So news of the day, as we mentioned, Astros tonight again.
Are they going to have a run? I guess yesterday's game was a bit of a run slump. Would you consider how many runs they've
been scoring? I was shocked that it was that low scoring.
It was only three runs.
Yeah, I was very shocked by that.
But Altuve didn't get a hit. He got a couple of walks. I don't think Alvarez did well in terms of hits, but he got a walk. I mean, I think maybe it was just I don't know if it was a situation like I was talking about yesterday where perhaps they were playing down a competition. Look, I guess winning does get old, or you just get too used to it.
But. And they even escaped the dusty benching good players during a serious positive run so that they can poop on a winning streak and survive. So hopefully they go crazy tonight again and keep the offense. Because, again, we talked about this stretch of games. They need to capitalize, and so far they're doing that. Take advantage of bad teams. Your record against sub-500 teams has not been all that great. Your record against the best teams in baseball has. So now you get a chance to really kind of capitalize. The A's are going to start playing a lot of teams that are better now. So these are situations you need to capitalize on. Now, if this is true, and everybody's basically backing up that it is true, they're also telling me that during the Yankee series when they come to Houston, that the giveaways that weekend are the 2019 ALCS rings and the Altuve jersey. Out. Freaking standing.
If that is
true, way to go, Astros.
I might be at that game. Is that the Friday? Is that the Friday or Saturday? Do we know what day that is? Is it the Friday Yankees game, or is it the Saturday Yankees game? Because
Dre's saying Saturday is the rings, Friday is the ALCS trophy.
That's why I'm going to Fridays.
Well, so Friday's the ALCS trophy, Saturday is the rings, Sunday is the Altuve jersey. Why don't you just start, Astros fans, just let the Yankees know when they get to town. Hey, you know all that stuff you guys bitch about not getting? Well, you can get it at the turnstiles during this weekend. Just go up there and get you a few.
Dude,
here comes the judge.
I could see how if you're going as a fan, like I'm not, okay, I don't have to be professional when I go on Friday, right? Because I'm not going as a credentialed media member. I can see the temptation of trolling. But the physical stuff, like.
Can I just throw this out there? It just crossed my mind, but I think I shouldn't have to say this. But Astros fans, don't throw them on the field.
Yeah.
Don't be Yankee fans stupid or Philly fans stupid.
Agreed.
Don't throw the rings and the things on the field.
Agreed.
We don't need all that.
I think a little verbal trolling is okay, but when you get that liquid courage in you, it's inevitable sometimes that a fight's going to break out. It'll be my first fight. First attempt.
First fight.
Not fight, but first my first time back at Minute Maid Park since the pandemic. So,
yeah, I mean, look, the Yankees aren't very good right now. And so you are. So be better than them. Okay? Don't be Yankee fan on Twitter and social media and all that stuff.
Because if you do that and then you lose the series, it's going to be even worse look.
Well, and they beat you in the series at Yankee Stadium.
Correct.
Just take care of business. Whoop that ass.
Get the dubs.
Yeah. Keep doing what you've been doing and realize you're in a totally different stratosphere than the Yankees right now. And just keep reminding people of that. That's all you need to do. Yankees fans right now, no trash cans, no buzzers, no chances of any of that stuff happening. And yet, which team is in first place? Which team has one of the top offenses in baseball? Which team has the best starting pitching? Okay, then enough said. Case closed. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
But don't do stupid stuff. Don't fight in this. Don't like Dodger series. Don't.
No, that's
don't fall into the trap.
And I would imagine they're going to up the security in that particular series.
They have to.
I mean, they can't. It's not an Orioles series. So, you know, they definitely have to do that.
Oh, by the way, Nick, and I'm just going to read the headline.
Okay.
But I will say that when we were talking about Team USA coming together for basketball and all the guys that were signing up, we know Chris Paul is out, Donovan Mitchell out. But James Harden, Kevin Durant, in. Breaking news. Team USA roster set. However, when have you heard this before? Harden pulls out with an injury.
I didn't expect him to play, to be honest with you. Did you expect him to play?
I think it was dumb. I think the fact that he can talk about how he's been able to, you know, persevere and endure NBA seasons and always play. Obviously, he's had issues this year. The last thing you need to do is play all summer and then go right into another NBA season and expect to be healthy the whole year. I think he's smart by pulling out.
I have to give credit to your boy Charlie Polillo, though, because there was a bunch of players that were saying, no, I'm just not going to play. And they didn't cite an injury or anything like that. And then he said, I guarantee you if James Harden says he's not going to play, that he's going to blame it on the injury. Instead of just being honest and saying, you know what, I just don't want to play for the team. You know, I don't want to play for Team USA. Because there's a bunch of other players that came out and just said, you know, no, I'm not playing. It's not because of injury. I'm just not playing. So him, he just, you know, he does have that I'm always worried about my image fear sometimes. You know, kind of like the Texans. He's always kind of worried about the way he looks a little too much. Just say you're pulling out, dude. Like, it's not that big a deal anymore.
He didn't need to play, and I think that especially when you're Donovan Mitchell's another one that didn't need to play. Chris Paul's another one. Chris Paul, for as good as he's been about his health and trying to take better care of himself, going vegan, doing all the things he's doing that he says has been helping him, the last thing you need to do coming off the shoulder and coming off this COVID and hopefully making, you know, getting back to playing again to finish the season, it's going to be a long regular season, I mean, playoff run for you regardless because you're already in the conference finals.
Correct.
The last thing you need to do is play all summer and then try and play again.
I don't blame him one bit. I don't even care that he uses the injury as an excuse because you know what? We talked about how long it takes to recover from that, especially in the event after you've already torn it once. So if you've torn it or if you have, even if it's a strain or like a high-level strain, it's going to take you longer to recover from that in the event that it gets torn or strains again.
Yeah. So there, if you're interested in the roster, I mean, they better damn well win it. But, I mean, it includes Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, Draymond Green. I don't know how Kevin Love got on this team. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are planning on playing, as is Devin Booker, but because they're knee-deep in the playoffs too. Look, if they go to the finals, I don't think they should play. They don't need to play because, again, you're setting yourself up for, and if you look at the track record of all the guys when they played all year, played deep playoff runs, and then went to the Olympics, the next year was injury-riddled, and you don't need that if you're one of the best players in the league. So be smart. Plan accordingly. That means keep your dial right where it's at because the Blitz is coming up next. It's Fred, it's AJ, it's Aaron. They're going to take you all the way till 7 o'clock. So you guys are going to have plenty of fun and games on your drive home. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. We appreciate you guys listening on a daily basis, being boxers. For Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.